Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
After decades of decline, drowning fatalities have been rising dramatically in Canada since 2004. Most drowning victims had no intention of going in the water, and harmless situations can become dangerous quickly. This summer, if you're going out on the water, even if you're not planning on going in it, be water smart and be prepared. Here are some things you can do to reduce your risk of drowning. Learn to swim and swim to survive. If you can tread water for a minute, you can orient yourself, and if you can swim 50 meters in a pool, you'll most likely be able to swim to safety in open water. Most drowning fatalities occur within just 15 meters of safety. Wear a life jacket or personal flotation device. 80% of all boating deaths were people who were not wearing one. Take a marine safety course, and if you're going kayaking or canoeing, know how to get out of your craft if it flips over. Practice basic safety moves such as wet exits and self-rescues. Save the alcohol for dry land after you're done playing on the water. And never go out alone. For more information and more safety tips, go to lifesaving.bc.ca.
Drake?
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is We're on the Street. We are broadcasting from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people. I'm your host, Isaac. We're after Narvar, the Union Soviets show. And today we're going to be talking about a couple different topics. If you didn't catch that at the start, we're going to be talking about Soulja Boy a little bit. A lot of people like him in here. We'll see if anyone doesn't. See if we have some disagreements. We're also going to talk about our experiences with music outside of Vancouver. Whether you're from Calgary, whether you're from Dubai, or if you've seen a concert in the Netherlands or San Francisco. And we're just going to see what everyone has to say. So I'm going to start off because a couple weeks ago, I got a message from a guy from Germany. This guy's name is Michael, and I met him when I was in grade 10. I was playing soccer, and he came over to me and my friends, and he said, "Hey, can I play soccer with you guys? I don't have anyone to play with." We're like, "Yeah, of course, man. You can play with us." And this guy, he was just an insane soccer player. He was like only a couple tiers down from the highest pro league in Germany, Bundesliga. And he played soccer for a living in Germany. He made a pretty good amount of money. And he was just incredible. And we were super impressed with him. Took a picture with him. And he's like, "I'm leaving for Germany in a few days. Maybe I'll see you guys one day again." Like, maybe, man. But we're like, "Oh, that's the last time we're ever going to see him." But last weekend, he sent me a message, like paragraphs. This guy is sending me essays, all this stuff. I'm like, What's going on, right? Because I haven't talked to him since grade 10. It's been years. And he's like, "Oh, I love what you guys are doing with the radio over in Vancouver. And I'm opening my own radio station in Germany. It doesn't cost anything over here. I'm opening my own record label." He sent me a video from someone who's on The Voice Germany. He's like, "We're signing this guy. This is our first artist." And I'm just like, what? Okay. And I just talked to him for a bit. And like, he recently got married. He has a kid. He sent me a video. He's like, "Oh, this is our studio. His kid is like swinging in the baby stroller thing." And he's just like, "Yeah, I'm super excited. Like, I hope we can network. And like, if I'm ever in Vancouver again, play soccer sometime, like, burger on me." And I'm like, "Wow, thanks, man." I'm just like so overwhelmed. Like, this is so strange. But that was my most recent experience with someone overseas. Someone not from Vancouver who just also passionate about music, about the radio. I just wanted to share. So who wants to share a story next?
How old was this guy when you're playing soccer?
That's my question.
He was around 25.
Okay, cool.
Okay, not, yeah. Not that weird, but still
no,
a
it's not
weird,
that
teetering on the
it's
weird.
Soccer. It's soccer. I wasn't like by myself or something. I was with a group of friends. We're on the field. He had a ball. He was just like kicking around. He had no one to kick around with. He's just like, "Yeah, can I shoot around with you guys?" Of course, that's pretty normal. You guys are like tweaking a bit, but
no. That's cool. No, that's cool. We should keep in touch with him for like the next couple months and see where his label
I'm
goes.
I'm genuinely
plug
curious.
The German label.
Yeah,
for sure.
When it opens up, like we'll try to figure out a way so our listeners can listen to his stuff.
That'd be so cool.
It'd be crazy. But it's still getting set up. It's in the works, though, so we'll keep you posted about that. But, I mean, if you want to share an experience, it doesn't necessarily have to be that directly related to the radio. It can be you're from a different place and you've seen different concerts. Yeah.
So I lived in the Seychelles for most of my life, which are a group of islands right off the coast of Madagascar, so southeast Africa. And when I was growing up, my whole grade was about 9 people. And three of those guys went on to do music. One of them is now studying music in like Taiwan or something. And the other two became like a really big deal in the Seychelles. And they're in this band called Louis Gang. And they do these concerts all the time. And they won a bunch of awards around like the country. And it was very interesting for me when I came to Canada, where concerts are very kind of monitored and very structured, and you've got a seat and you know where you're going and you kind of know what to expect. Whereas in the Seychelles, it's usually kind of by the beach. It's outside. If it's raining, it's raining. If it's not, it's great. There's like cups all over the floor and everyone's, you know, it's a bit of a mess. It's a bit chaotic. But that was like a really big thing that I noticed when I first came to Canada, was that everything's very, very structured here. And if you go to a concert downtown Vancouver, you kind of know what to expect going in, whereas there you kind of show up and you get what you get, really. So
do you know which one you prefer?
I like knowing what's going to happen before I get there. So I went to like the neighborhood concert when they were here a few months ago, and I really liked that because I was able to go and know where I was going to be standing and know where they were going to be standing. But I also liked how there's more of a community in concerts in the Seychelles, because you're just with the people you're with and everyone kind of talks to each other, and because you're not in like a specific area, everyone just kind of wanders around and goes and sits at the beach if they're not like keen on a specific song, or they'll go and wander around. It's got its pros and cons, both of them.
Very interesting. We never had someone from that area in the studio at all, so thank you for sharing. Isaiah, you went to the Netherlands over the summer break, and you saw what there? You saw a festival there?
Yeah, I went to this music festival called, what is it? We Are Electric, a very literal name. And it was like an EDM festival, and I don't listen to EDM. I just went because like my cousin and all her friends were going.
You don't have to be ashamed, you know, if you're a big fan.
I do not like EDM. I've warmed up to techno, but like all the like drum and bass and like the like repetitive, I can't. I don't have the stamina for that genre. And I don't have anything to compare it to, truly, because I've never been to a music festival, like, until I had gone to that one. And a lot of the shows I went to in the Netherlands, like, this summer were outdoor shows because it was the summer and it was warm. But I know a big thing about indoor shows in Europe versus here is you're allowed to smoke. And, like, a lot of artists have complained about, like, singing and, like, their throats hurting and, like, how they wish the audience would just stop smoking indoors because, like, it affects their... like performance. And I went to a concert with my dad once in high school because I'm really cool and I had no one else to go with.
That is really cool.
And I asked him how the show was because I wasn't like really standing with him, and he was like, it was good, but I saw this one guy who got kicked out for smoking weed. And he's like, that's so weird, that would never happen, because my dad's Dutch. And I'm like, it's not that weird, dad. And he's like, that's so strange, I've never seen that before. So like, I guess there's just like a big difference in that area, but I think in general, like, venues are pretty similar, and like the audience is the same. It's just like maybe the artists who like they like are different, obviously, because you're in different countries, but like the culture seems pretty similar.
I remember I saw G-Eazy quite a few years ago when okay. I actually liked his music, but it was in Paris, and he just like brought his mom on stage and they both started smoking weed, and it was just so weird because it was so normal and like community vibes, and yeah, that would never happen here, I think.
What about Dubai?
Dubai. Yeah, that would never happen in Dubai, no.
What about Dubai in terms of the concert experience? How is it different from what you see in Vancouver?
Usually the concerts in Dubai, they're like a few years ago, it'd only be really, really big people and so expensive. Like the cheapest tickets you could get would be like $100 or like more than that. But now, over the past few years, like there's been a scene developing and like streetwear, lifestyle, all this stuff, you know, all the... hype beast kids gathering and like, yeah, so it's changing, but it used to be really difficult. That's why when I moved here, I went to as many shows as possible.
And who are some of the bigger names that would have been the only people you could see in
like
the past?
Justin Timberlake, Justin Bieber, like Katy Perry. I remember Katy Perry and Usher came and it was like a huge deal, and like it's just a huge like big production and stuff. But also in Abu Dhabi, which is like an hour away from Dubai, they host like every year like a free show, so they brought like Travis Scott and J. Cole and Big Sean, which is pretty impressive, like completely free. And it's too good to be true, but yeah, it happens sometimes.
Oh yeah, I remember like there was this Korean collective called Club Eskimo, and then the concert experience itself was like pretty normal, like general, like whatever, it was at the Vogue. But then like what stood out to me the most was people found out what time the guy's flight was coming in. So they waited at the airport, and then they like followed him out and everything. And then they like followed him to his hotel room and shit like that, or like stuff like that. And then, and then like when he was leaving, they followed him to the airport again, and they tried to give him a whole bunch of stuff, like coffee and then like some Pikachu doll or whatever. It was really weird. It was like, I think because in Korea, it's like that kind of culture is kind of normal almost, to kind of like just stalk your favorite idol or whatever. It was kind of weird to like see that in Vancouver, but it was cool, I guess. It was mostly like 15-year-old girls and stuff.
So in Korea, if you have someone who's like a big music artist, like it's okay to do that almost? Or
it's
is the norm?
Like, yeah, it's pretty much the norm. Like there are these, like there's exceptions. They're called Sazing fans. They're like full-on stalkers, but that's like people like denounce that. But yeah, it's pretty normal, I would say.
Hmm. What about you Calgarians in the room? Is it any different? It's not that far away, but is the scene different at all, or your experience in concerts?
So I would say my experience with a lot of smaller Calgary shows is that the scene differs, where just in the fact that it's more just like a punk rock based scene, a lot more just like older white guys who all dress the same. All the music kind of sounds very similar.
Yes.
it's very homogenous, where I feel like Vancouver has more diversity in its music scene. There's like a lot of rap emerging, but you still get those like the classic, like I don't know, like punk, like indie bands. But I feel like the scenes in Vancouver, like it's kind of like people go to a little bit of everything, whereas in Calgary it's very like people fit into a certain genre.
Yeah,
and
definitely
stick within that.
Yeah, there's a lot of plaid shirts at Calgary concerts for sure.
Oh, I would say
People, a lot of the bars are like just themed, so a lot of bars will only hire rock bands or only hire like punk bands, and so those people will just go to there. So it's really hard to find like local good rap shows to go to. There's a far lot less than punk, I found.
It definitely is interesting because a lot more of like the mainstream like venues that you see, it's all the same people. Like Gabe said, a lot of just like plaid, and you kind of have to dig to find like those people that are always at every other, like all like the more like underground shows. But there is a festival that we do talk about quite often, I feel, called Slide Island.
We talk about it a lot. Yeah.
Just because like there's so much crazy stuff, and it's kind of like everybody comes out. It's kind of like everyone from Calgary that's just kind of like in some sort of weird niche scene comes out, and they're all thrown together. And so you downtown, you're like, they're bald people in robes or just like someone carrying a harp downtown, and it's a very surreal experience where I feel like a lot of genres come out together because there's a whole bunch of different like concerts, a whole bunch of different venues all over the city, and I feel like that's the one time in Calgary where I really appreciate it because everyone just kind of comes
out. It's a real good like diversification of genre for sure, because a couple hours north in Edmonton, they built a really giant arena for their hockey team. But now a lot of like mainstream pop and like rap singers just go there to perform, and so a lot of like the more popular hip-hop and pop artists, the larger ones at least, just don't come to Calgary. Mm-hmm. So a lot of artists
Calgary?
Are realizing if you at Calgary, yes.
Calgary.
There's an A, so you pronounce it Calgary.
Calgary.
So yeah, there's definitely a lot more larger folky rock scene for sure.
I've heard that because Calgary's big venue is called like the Saddle Dome. I think it's equivalent to kind of like Rogers or like the P&E.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard that a lot of artists won't come to Calgary specifically because of the acoustics in this venue.
Oh, really?
Which is really interesting, just the way it's laid out. So we actually don't get a lot of big artists that come specifically just like for the bad sound in that arena, which coming to Vancouver, it's been really interesting because it gets a lot more traffic. So my problem in Calgary was that there weren't enough artists. And now coming to Vancouver, it's that I don't have enough money or time to see everybody, which definitely isn't a bad problem.
I was talking about the Netherlands earlier, but I'm from Mississauga, which is like next to Toronto. And one thing I've noticed about Toronto shows, and Shanae, maybe you can speak to this too, is artists love Toronto. Like
they love Toronto.
Every tour, they're like, Toronto is the best show. Toronto's crazy. Like old favorites of the show, Brockhampton, we used to talk about them all the time. Like they went off about Toronto and how they played Star like 8 times in a row or something. And like, I don't know. I haven't like felt an insane difference like going to shows here and going to Toronto, the shows in Toronto, but like it seems like artists really realize, and I wonder why. I don't know. Maybe Vancouverites are just like chilled out or like more bored, but I don't know.
I would agree with that. I think that there's a lot of similarities, especially if you're like me, most of the shows that you've gone to are more so like big shows or like indie shows. I've always noticed that Toronto has like more of a underground music scene, whereas when I was moving here, I was concerned that there wasn't going to be one, and that made me kind of sad. But since I've come here, I've noticed there's some stuff. It's like got lots of diversity, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, as like a born and raised Vancouverite, I think we just tend to like think of ourselves as kind of lame, to be honest. Like, because like we think of ourselves like we're like kind of like, okay, so we're like one of the biggest cities in Canada, and like we have a lot of nice nature and.
Yeah. Vancouver's okay, gorgeous. I don't know why there's this like self-deprecating tendency. It's such a nice place. I'm so happy to be here.
It's because it's very expensive. I think all the young people don't think you can live here.
Maybe
it's all the depression of that.
I'd also say, as someone who's like recently moved to Vancouver, there's a lot more happening in Vancouver than anywhere like I've lived before. So I was very impressed when I first came here, and I heard that all these different people that I've listened to over the years were coming to perform here, whereas the biggest thing that happened near where I'm from was Ed Sheeran once came to South Africa, which was like cool, but no one went because it was 5 hours away. So I don't know. For me personally, coming to Vancouver was such a big thing. And as you were saying earlier, every time I hear about a concert happening, I always get so excited. And then they're all happening on the same day, or they're all like really expensive. So I think that's another thing.
Also, as a born and raised Vancouverite, I definitely agree. Like, and mostly probably up until like last year, I didn't think that we had like a like any kind of music, like art scene in general. Like, I just didn't thought, like, I thought that didn't exist at all. And then, but I think now that I've gone to a few shows, more local shows, I've noticed that I just pretty much see the same people there all the time. Like, I don't really see much, like, many new faces or anything. It's not necessarily, like, an exclusive club or anything. I think it's just more intimidating just to see, like, the same people over and over again. Like, because they're all kind of, like, friends or connected or whatever. I think mostly people, like, go just to network, honestly.
I think part of it too is like there's just, I guess, not as many venues for it. Like, you could talk about the city. Like, I think there's the people, like, there's the interest for it. Because, like, as you said, if you go to any of those shows that are like a little low key and like not necessarily official in any way, like, there's a lot of, there's like a strong community there, but there's not necessarily like the venues or the, I guess, like infrastructure for them to use.
Yeah, I'm sorry I have to say this, but coming to Vancouver, I was very disappointed in the music scene. My biggest issue, because like, I'm from San Francisco, and like the Bay Area, we have our hyphy music, so everything's about, it's about that bounce. And then like everybody's going rowdy at concerts, and then everybody's just super excited. Like, people get into mosh pits all the time. It's actually part of the reason I go to concerts now. But when I came to Vancouver, especially with Brockhampton, which was the second concert I saw in Vancouver.
Which one did you see? Was it the most recent one, or is it the one in February? Last February?
The one in November.
Okay.
Yeah, so I went there, and everybody, they seemed like they cared about the music, but they seemed to more care about just being aggressive with each other. And they were just pushing each other around. It was just kind of like, it ruined the experience for me. And it kind of sucks, because I've been to Brockhampton 5 times now.
We keep finding these people, man.
Yeah. <Whoa. laughs> I've seen them like, a lot. So it's definitely, it's not like it ruined them for me, because I've seen them before. And especially for the concert I went to beforehand, which was the 88 Rising. Really, everybody was there to flex on each other. They're all just there dripping in their Gucci and whatnot.
Big agree.
It's so boring, though. And then everybody who is on the floor, they weren't moving. They just stood there, and they're like, yeah, dude, this is so cool. But they don't actually care about the music. They just wanted to flex on their friends. Like, it was just a really weird experience. So I feel like there's a lot more to Vancouver I still need to experience music-wise and, like, the culture. But so far, not too impressed. Sorry.
All good. Yeah.
I was talking about Brockhampton last week, and kind of like, because I was at the November one too, I was just like noticing, it's like, yeah, there's like all these like 14-year-old kids like with their like Urban Outfitters outfits, just like super fancy looking. But yeah, there wasn't a big feeling of camaraderie in that arena. And I've noticed that like quite a bit about the rest of Vancouver. I don't know if that's an extension of the culture, like if it's just more closed off, it's like people are less like open in that sense compared to like maybe San Francisco or Toronto, but definitely noticed that.
Mike is moving across the studio right now.
Go for it.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah. Like, in reference to those two shows, I feel like, I mean, it could be, like, kind of an extension of the Vancouver music culture, but I think it's more of a reflection of, like,
the culture of like those bands or groups. I love Brockhampton, or I loved Brockhampton, not loved, past tense. I'm not gonna get into it. I like Brockhampton, and I've seen them twice, and I really liked it. I saw them at the Vogue and at Biltmore, so they were like smaller shows. But I think it's more of like the culture of those groups and how they like bred kind of like a really obsessive like fan base. So like they're really competitive in terms of like getting to the front of the like crowd and like being close to the musicians. But I don't think that's like a Vancouver problem. That's just like a Stan problem.
That's not what I thought was going to be said when I heard that like the Vancouver music scene was kind of iffy. I thought something else would be mentioned, like, you know, maybe like the underground music scene like isn't like up to par or something like that. But that's just like, it's, I feel like Brockhampton, like as an analogy, just reminds me of like a pair of floods that are like, they're supposed to be like fashionable, like they're cuffed, but it's like they've, the person who's like wearing them has just like grown too fast. And that's a really random metaphor. But like Brockhampton has, I tried, guys, I knew this was gonna be weird the second I thought of it, but point being, Brockhampton has just like grown up like way too fast. Like there are some people that are there like who are loyal because like they're an independent artist and they're so great, but there are so many people there who have just bandwagoned, and there's all these like surplus bandwagoning people like hanging around and like not knowing what to do, and that's just really typical.
Keep in mind, like ICS said, they're at the Biltmore last September, then they're at the Vogue the next February, and they're already at the PNE. That's huge growth in what, not just over a year, because that was three concerts within 13, 14 months, and three crazy different venues in terms of the size. So, yeah, and multi-million dollar deal, like Zubin said, they're independent just before that as well, before their most recent album. So that, you'd have to consider that as well, I think.
Yeah, extreme success is weird for anybody who's trying to fit into an independent niche. It's like you don't know what to do after some point. You can't be Katy Perry
or
Big Sean. It's just not going to work for you. You don't know how to feel that.
It's just like when Soulja Boy, you know, he's just like... I mean, we'll get into that later, but honestly, it's another example where, like, you know, he blew up so big that he just didn't know how to contain himself. He was talking about this on The Breakfast Club. We'll get more into this in a bit, but just... how big Crank That became and how it sold, I think he said 15 million ringtones, and how he is one of the first, huge. He was one of the first artists to put videos on YouTube. He was the first artist on MySpace, which doesn't matter now, but in terms of artists being on social media, he's actually, when you think about it, whether you like him or not, if you think he's ridiculous or if you think he's a genius, he was one of the first artists to be on social media and to have that become a norm. And everyone's laughing at him. But now you see all these people, clout chasers, whatever you want to call it, on Instagram, on everything. So he's actually very important to this whole internet culture age of music that we see every day.
I have a little theory, just kind of circling back to like audience participation as well as like expectations for artists, whether you laugh at them or whether you hype them up. It all depends on how much you pay for the ticket. I find the best concerts that I've been to have been like under $35 because people aren't financially invested in it. So they're more relaxed to have a good time because they don't have that pressure to like have the best night of their lives. They're just there to have fun. They're more relaxed because every concert that I've been in that's been more than $40, like the more I realized everyone there is more uptight. They're just there to flex on each other, like you were saying. Or they're just like, there's no movement because they're intimidated and they're still trying to figure out what to do. That's why when you go to these big festivals for 3 days long and everyone's put in like $300, unless you're in the first three rows of like that mosh, everyone's just standing still. So you have to have that exceptional artist to get everyone moving. And even then, you're only jumping for half of a song before everyone settles down and keeps standing. So that's kind of my thing is the cheaper the ticket, the better the experience.
Yeah. I mean, it also depends on the artist a lot, too. Like, not just in terms of we're talking about someone that grew really fast, like Brockhampton. But to make a contrast with another show I've been to, I went to Denzel Curry in the summer. And he was one of the first people to be labeled as a SoundCloud rapper way, way back. And his demographic was fantastic. Like, you have a mix of everyone, but everyone was hype. It was at Fortune. It's not a huge venue, but everyone's jumping around the whole time. He's going crazy. He's jumping on the crowd. is super aggressive, but it's not the type of aggressive where it's like, oh, I want to stomp on you. It's like, I want to have a really good time. I want to jump around, and I want to try to, like, jump up on stage next to Denzel. So for me, that's a comparison to a show I've seen in Vancouver that I thought was really great, and I didn't have any problems in that one.
Yeah, like, I went to a few So Loki shows. They're, like, a local Vancouver rap duo or whatever. They had a show at El Cartel. It was, like, it's kind of weird because it's a clothing store, but there's kind of, like, a venue in the back. I don't know. But I think it was great because the crowd was, like, everyone was there mostly to support them because they all kind of know each other, but there were a few new listeners, I guess, but it was great just because it was more intimate. Like, there was definitely more engagement with the audience, and I think that, like, with big shows, like I went to the TDE tour, it was pretty much just, like, you know, like, typical stuff. They just perform their set, they get off stage, people leave, but here it was more like you get to, like, talk to the artist kind of performing. It was great. It was, like, a great time.
For sure.
I just kind of had a point about, like, artists blowing up. I was talking to this about somebody the other day, how, like, finding the next indie thing, finding the next, like, SoundCloud rapper that hasn't been discovered is kind of, like, the new mainstream almost. Like, in a way, it's, like, a cycle. Like, everyone's searching to capitalize upon, like, that next person no one has discovered yet, and then they get big, and it's kind of, like, people lose interest. It's, like, not as genuine anymore. And it's kind of, like, how do we avoid that for people that we like artists that we like, when they get really big? Yeah.
For sure. I think that ties to Soulja Boy, too, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Not even kidding. I know you're all laughing at me, but it's very accurate. We should go for an ad break now. I also wanted to mention, because we're going to play one of his songs, a shout-out to Eric, the dad of the show. He's from Kenya. And I remember when we were first at the station here, you know, sometimes people come in, they're having a bad day. They're like, I don't really want to be here. I want to go home. And Eric's like, come on, man. You know what? When I was in Kenya, there's, like, one radio station at the university I was at. No one's as enthusiastic as you guys are. Like, you guys are going to kill it, man. Like, you know, that's how Eric would say it. So we just got to, you know, be grateful that we're here anyway. And, like, look at people like Eric who have that value in what we're doing. So what song are we going to play from Icia? How about we play the UBC one?
Is that Dream Chasers?
No. I think it's called Rise.
Oh, Rise UBC. Yeah.
So we'll play a song from Eric. We'll play a couple other tracks. from the Afrolution.
And the album's called Bob's Legacy, out on Spotify, Apple Music, all important platforms, so go check it out.
Definitely check it out. Very unique sound, not stuff you hear all the time. And yeah, we'll be back. We'll talk about Soulja Boy. Enjoy.
We're unable to take your call at the moment. Please leave your name, number, and a brief message, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
UBC, I wrote this one for you. Just want to say thank you, boo, for showing me the time of my life. Swear to God I won't regret it. Swear to God I won't regret it. I live every day like I'm turning 27. You know what I'm saying, Kurt Cobain. Jimi Hendrix, Freddie Mercury, Daniel Banish. I decided that I don't wanna be average, I wanna live lavish. So I joined UBC, I crossed the seas, I took a chance like gun laws out in France. I said, fuck it, heard them say you wanna live once. So I made a plan to make a couple millions. Buy a building with no ceiling, up in the hills, live like a villain. So you know I always kill it. Ain't talking murder, murder, academics. 9 to 5, 5 to 9, type of life. Spending my time in the stoop with a book and a mic. It's a hustle out there, you ain't gotta tell me twice. One of my homies lost his life, one of my shorties lost a life. So I'm grinding every day like BC Bird. UBC, if you know what is up, raise your hands, show some love. When you see an African with dreadlocks on the rise, don't be surprised, just say hi. I don't buy, I ain't that type of guy. I might spit some shit that make you do backflips in your mind.
Tell him, bro.
I'm a product of my environment, nerd, eh?
Tell him, bro.
I'm thinking about every time I'm nerd, eh? Hey.
What can I say? Your mind is like a canvas I chose to write some stanzas, plan my future in advance, and pay my dues and pay my taxes. That's the heavens for some guidance. Then accepted my assignment and watched the stars fall in alignment. So if you see an African with dreadlocks on the rise, don't be surprised, just say I. Afro, let's go.
CITR and Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR and Discorder card for $20 for discounts on Main Street at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Biltmore Cabaret, Red Cat Records, Lucky Comics,
The Wallflower Modern Diner, Neptune Records, The Rag Machine, The Regional Assembly of Text, and so many more.
Tune in to African Rhythms every Friday from 7:30 to 9 o'clock with your host, David Love Jones, as he plays a heavyweight selection of classics from the past, present, and future. This includes jazz, soul, hip-hop, Afro-Latin, funk, and eclectic Brazilian rhythms.
Lots of people, they take it like a game.
Hello, hello, hello. We are back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is We're on the Street. I'm your host, Isaac. We just talked about some of our experiences from other places that we've been, other cities, other countries, other cultures with music. And now we're going to talk about Soulja Boy. So I'm sure you've seen something about the recent interview on The Breakfast Club. I watched the whole thing last night. I stayed up late watching. It was just too good. So, as I was saying earlier, Soulja Boy actually has a lot of good points, in my opinion. I think he's very smart, as ridiculous as he is, whether it's his console or saying that he had the best comeback of 2018. I don't know about that, but 2019, he's off to a pretty good start. So I just want to hear what people think of Soulja Boy in general, about his claims. Do you think that he's full of it? Do you think that he actually knows what he's doing? Anyone have some thoughts?
I just want to quickly, on the point of saying like he's smart, I don't know. This is his tweet in response to whether or not Nintendo will sue him for his consoles. Quote, "For anyone that thinks Nintendo is going to sue me, you're retarded. Nothing's going to happen. Everything is legit. My console isn't going anywhere. Trust me." End quote. So as much as I'd love to be on the Soulja Boy hype train, like,
yeah,
I don't know if he has everything figured out.
That's a yikes tweet.
Yeah, that's Soulja Boy's words, not ours. We
just
don't
to add some context, yeah. Just to, like, some of the people in the studio and maybe some listeners, what was basically, like, what was the lowdown of this interview? Like, what's a quick summary?
I'll try to do it quick. I went over a lot of stuff. I mean, the most viral clip is pretty much him saying Drake, which I said at the start of the show, because he said how Drake stole his flow of Kiss Me Through the Phone, and he actually sung Drake's part from an older Drake song, and it's pretty similar. There's other stuff, like today, like they're saying like Ariana Grande stole his flow as well. And, he made a lot of claims. He talked about his video game console. He talked about a movie that's coming about him very soon, and he talked about how he used to have a super group with like Young Thug and Rich Homie Quan. He's talking about how he ended all his beef, and he's like very happy now. He actually addressed mental health a little bit and was actually serious about something for once, which is kind of refreshing.
Okay, so it's sounding like there's some trade-offs. What was with this console thing? I've heard like
so. It's basically okay. Wait, here's what it is. It's basically like a reskinned made in. Okay, I mean like everything is made in China, but it's a Chinese company that does sell the console separately themselves. But so I think apparently all he did was it's kind of like if you know drop shipping. It's kind of like Soulja Boy became a drop shipper. He just took this console thing that existed and then made it, like, the Soulja game console.
And so yeah. Was it a Nintendo console?
No, it's, like, more than that, right? It's got,
it
like,
has
every
everything.
Kind of game.
It has
but he doesn't have
Sonic,
the license
has
to
Mario,
it
Mario, has 800 games on it.
Oh, that's good.
But, it's not really allowed.
Okay, so the whole deal with the system was that it was a $70 system that you could buy off, like, AliExpress. And essentially, it's an emulator, so you can just like play old games off of it. Like it's completely, he doesn't own the rights to anything, and there's no way in hell. Sorry, there's no way he's gonna like go through and be able to actually go on the market. But essentially, what he's doing is just taking other people's products, slapping a sticker on it, and charging, I think, $200 extra for it.
Oh my!
So it's not exactly the best play, but I kind of respect it. Because he's going for it, and if people are stupid enough to buy it, I say go for it.
And he said he was only expecting to sell a couple hundred, but it sold 1,000 or something, so that's why a lot of people don't have it yet. so don't worry, it's on the way. That's what
but
he
at
says.
The same time, I mean, like, even if he makes sales, like, if he gets sued, he can still lose all that money and more. So in terms of being a smart business play, like...
Yeah, I mean, he made a lot of claims yesterday about having a lot of money, and a lot of the people in the Breakfast Club were even questioning, like, are those chains real? They don't sound right. And then he was like...
I mean, I think that's pretty true in the rap game these days. Like, there's a lot of, like, renting jewelry and stuff just, like, you know, just because it's part of your image.
Yeah, what I do respect, though, is every time someone's trying to call him out, he backed it up, and he didn't quit on himself. And he actually had, it seemed like, legitimate reasons for most of the stuff, because one of the hosts was like, oh, I saw, like, one of your chains, it was, like, posted on this fake jewelry, like, Buster thing. He was like, oh, that was a gift. I got that as a gift. So that wasn't me. Like, that was my friend. I was like, come on, man, what are you doing? And then he had, like, these big chains. They're making, like, this very distinct noise. And this guy's like, oh, that doesn't sound real. He's like, well, your chains are small, so you wouldn't know. Saying stuff like that.
Okay. But wait, I'm back to, like, Soulja Boy's entrepreneurship. In this other article, he's quoted as claiming that, so he also, you know, you may have heard, has the Soulja watch. So he's getting into the smartwatch game. But apparently, so it's currently not available because he claims a former associate has hacked and took down the website. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe 2019 is the comeback year for Soulja Boy, or maybe it's a dumpster fire. There's still 12 months left.
I feel like his moves are so sporadic and just, like, weird that I can't tell if these are just, like, calculated business moves or if he's just, like, blindly feeling his way through, like, this industry through, like, trying to show off and trying to just, like, flex, or if it's, like, calculated, like, I will gain attention by doing this.
Yeah, it's really interesting because he was comparing himself to some other rappers today, like Lil Pump or someone like that, and he was saying how, like, 10 years ago, he went through that. Like, he understands of not being able to control, like, all the money and the fame, because he really did come from a poor background, and he was sort of empathizing with that. But at the same time, when he acts like this, you kind of wonder, does he know what he's doing? Is he actually, like, a mastermind behind every move, or is it just Soulja Boy being Soulja Boy, how we've known him for the past decade? I don't know.
Good question.
And Gabe wants to plug the Twitter again, CITR Word Street. He'll give his own little promo here.
All right, you guys have been just blowing up the Twitter lines. Okay, I just want to congratulate everybody. The show has been on since September. We've had a Twitter account since early December, and we finally have 10 followers. Woo! We've broken double digits. We have 11 followers. Three of them are like brand new during this show. So good job, everybody. Follow us on Twitter at CITR Word Street. Tell us what you think. Take a picture of some graffiti on the street. Send it in. Get some Word Street. You know? Word Street. At CITR Word Street. Follow us. Let's see if we can make it to 20 followers for next week. Okay? If you follow us back, tag us, tell your friends, we'll follow you back. Follow for follow, like for like, at CITR Word Street, tweet it up.
All right, I think we're going to close off with one more song.
Sure, yeah.
What do you want to play? Get the mic?
We're going to play Play With It by Tommy Genesis. She's a
explicit
local Vancouver rapper. She went to Emily Carr. Shout out to Emily Carr. No one knows how old she is. It's pretty funny. Very nice lady. Explicit warning, there's some raunchy content in this song. So thank you for listening.
See you next week.
Play with a pussy, wanna play with a pussy. Come get a hooky, baby, come get a hooky. I wanna fuck you, baby, I wanna fuck you. If we not fucking, baby, come get a puppy. Play with it, 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 play with it. Touch it, work it, you can date it. If you like it, you can name it. Touch it, work it, you can date it. If you like it, you can name it. Play with it, 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 play with it. Don't buy, you can have it.
you wanna play with a pussy. Come get a hooky, baby, come get a hooky. I wanna fuck it, baby, I wanna fuck it. If we're not fucking, baby, come get a puppy. Play with it, 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 play with it. You can play, get away all night. We saw guys, just come inside. I'll be there if it's what you like. If it's what you like. Baby, come get a hooky. I wanna fuck it, baby, I wanna fuck it. If we're not fucking, baby, come get a puppet. Play with it, play with it, play with it, play with it.